And no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, if you've been preaching or teaching or doing anything for any amount of time, whether you're a new convert or whether you've been in the way for quite some time, you always need the Lord. And I need Him tonight very much so. And I do ask an interest in your prayers. And I just want God to be honored and glorified. We're thankful for the church to allow us to have this opportunity. And just ask everyone to just please pray for us and mind the Lord tonight. This is still His service, and we're here to serve and worship and honor Him the best way that we know how tonight. So you all please just follow the Lord tonight and pray for me as we try to present what God has put on our heart tonight. Our lesson tonight is spiritualism versus emotionalism. Spiritualism versus emotionalism. And I'll just be honest, when the Lord put this on my heart, I thought, well, don't know how I'm going to do that one, Lord, but we'll figure it out, and we'll follow You, and we'll try to do the best that we can. And I believe it's something that's very important and is neglected in our churches. It's neglected in our homes, and we need to prayerfully seek out and learn what God would have for us to. Our purpose tonight, as directed by the Holy Spirit, is to define and discern spiritualism and emotionalism and how we are affected by them today. Emotion, defined from Webster's 1828, is literally a moving of the mind or soul, hence any agitation of mind or excitement of sensibility. That's what emotion is. I know a lot of us, we express our emotions, don't we? My wife is pregnant right now with twins, and she expresses her emotions quite often. And that's just how we are. We're human beings. We're emotional people. And I've probably been known for being an emotional preacher sometimes and getting crying sometimes and getting happy sometimes. But we want to go into depth, if we can tonight, of the difference between emotion and being spiritual, and emotionalism and spiritualism, because there is a difference. And we need to make sure of where we're at tonight and where we're at every single day of our lives. Emotional, defined from Webster's New World Dictionary, is of or showing emotion, easily aroused to emotion, and appealing to the emotions, moving. There's a lot of us that we've watched a movie that might make us emotional. We may be listening or going to school and walk down the street and see someone help someone along the way, and it may make us emotional. It may spark emotion inside of us, and it makes something, and it moves us per se, but it necessarily doesn't have to mean that we're spiritually moved. It's important for us to understand the direction of the Spirit and the direction of the way the emotion goes. Spirit, defined from Webster's 1828, is the soul of man, the intelligent, immaterial, and immortal part of human beings. And Ecclesiastes tells us that. I guess you're wondering if this was really going to be a Bible study or if we were going to be doing definitions all night, but we want to get into the lesson a little bit with the help of the Lord. But Ecclesiastes tells us, and I'm sure you all are familiar with Ecclesiastes here in the 12th chapter, and we'll read there just a little bit tonight. And the 7th verse says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." And that's, I believe, where Webster's getting this from, as far as the spirit is the inner being inside of man, that we know that when a person dies, they either go to heaven or hell. That's where their soul or spirit, however you want to look at it, goes to be with God. Our dust returns to the dust of the ground. Our bodies returns to the dust of the ground. And our spirit or our soul goes back to God who gave it. And you know, He is the one that decides our final dwelling place, depending on whether we're saved or unsaved. That's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Godhead that speaks to our spirit. And Romans, the 8th chapter, explains that to us a little bit better. And we want to go into that if we can. Romans, the 8th chapter, again, some familiar reading lessons. And We'll get a little bit further in depth here in just a few moments of time with the help of the Lord. But Romans the 8th chapter in the 14th verse says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." That was reading Romans, the 8th chapter, and verses 14 through 17. Spiritual, defined from Webster's 1828, is consisting of spirit, not material, incorporeal as a spiritual substance or being. The soul of man is spiritual. I want us to understand that the soul of man is spiritual. Now, we need to realize what that means, and we need to go into depth, but we want to look, and our lesson title is Spiritualism versus Emotionalism. So an ism on the end of words such as emotional or spiritual is the act, practice, or process of doing something. So when we're being spiritual, we're acting out, or we're practicing, or we're having a process of doing something. When someone is truly being spiritual, or they're experiencing spiritualism, we want you to realize that they are talking about the soul of man. It's talking about their inner being and who that they really are. When person's being emotional, it's talking about their physical being and their characteristics of their man, or who that they are in their flesh. And I want you to understand that we must specify the difference to the generations that are coming along of emotionalism and spiritualism. We have lacked so much spiritualism in our churches and in our homes that people don't understand the difference anymore. People think that because, well, this sister cried, or that person cried, or this person said this or did that, that they were spiritually led by God. And if they were, that's wonderful and that's important. That is totally necessary for a true worship service. Jesus Himself said that you've got to worship Me in spirit and in truth. But without the spirit, the emotions can still be affected, and they can still be changed and directed, and we can practice our emotions all throughout our lives. We can wake up in the morning feeling emotional, but it's important to work at being spiritual. Being spiritual is hard to get to. It's not an easy place to be in. And I'm afraid to say that there's not many of us, at least me up here, is not a spiritual being as I ought to be. But with the help of the Lord, we want to get there. And we need to get there. Our churches are hurting. Our homes are hurting. Our schools are hurting because the lack of spiritualism. Emotionalism is everywhere. Everybody feels emotion. It's all everywhere. And a lot of people think, well, I've got emotion, so I've got all that I need. You need deeper than emotion in order to be able to please God, in order to be able to worship God, in order to be able to even live for God. I believe you need to be a spiritual being in order to honor Him and to worship Him and to please Him. We need to understand where emotion comes from, because I believe the Lord wanted us to have emotions. I believe He did. I had a hard time trying to study and prepare for this, but we need to look at where our emotions and our spirit comes from. Well, Genesis, the first chapter, and the 26th verse, if we can, let's turn there and read some of these scriptures tonight. And we'll just try to let the Lord lead. If we stick to our outline, that'll be fine. If we let the Spirit lead is what we're going to try and do, and He directs us elsewhere, that'll be fine too. Genesis, the first chapter, and the 26th verse says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And in the second chapter, in the seventh verse, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So God made us in His image, didn't He? He made us in His likeness, just like He is. And I believe that God created Adam in a perfect, holy state. I believe there was nothing wrong with Adam. And when he sinned, he transgressed the one law that God told him not to do, of the eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He fell from a state of holiness, but he was still created in the image of God, was he not? I'm still created in the image of God because He has created me and passed that down from generation to generation. But we know that God is a spirit. The Bible teaches us that. John tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But what about emotions? Does God have emotions? Does our God and the Creator of the universe... Now I tell you, I was scared as I began to ask these questions to my Lord and propose these questions to Him. This is the Creator of the ends of the universe, and to ask such a thing would be a scary to ask, but I still believe that God created me in His image, so I needed to dig a little deeper. To pray about and to seek out if God had emotions and expressed those emotions and has emotions, because He's still alive and still well, and He's with us. In Genesis, the 6th chapter and the 5th verse, I believe we can find out a little bit with the help of the Lord about God's emotions, about God having feelings. Genesis, the 6th chapter, let's go ahead and read the first verse. It says, "And it came to pass, when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." Listen here in the verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness was great in the earth, in that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." I believe God was saddened by the condition of our world. I believe God is saddened by the condition of our world. I believe it hurts his emotions. I believe it hurts and strikes a nerve, and it hurts him to see the condition of our world. We know what God decided and chose to do, and the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." I believe it hurt the Lord. It displeased the Lord. Even in the psalmist, in Psalms, the 30th chapter, in the 5th verse, he tells us here, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." The Lord has an emotion of anger, absolutely. Absolutely, God expresses His anger, and He expresses His displeasure with the world, and has for many, many generations. I believe He still is by some old-fashioned preachers trying to preach the truth of sinners in the hands of an angry God, as He has many, many years chosen to represent and to show us that he still expresses his emotions sometimes. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, is a very familiar reading lesson. But you, at least I, have not thought about the emotions in which God expresses throughout his scriptures. Emotions in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. In the third verse it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. And we, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Down in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord. Pleased him. Made him satisfied. Made him content to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, is another example, if we can tonight. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, as Jesus was going to be baptized of John, I believe the Lord expressed his emotions. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in the 15th verse. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The thing about God is, he expresses his emotions. But what God does, as he expresses his emotions in the Scriptures, every time, each time his emotions are expressed, they harmonize perfectly with the Holy Spirit. There is no difference or dissension between God, his Son, and his Holy Spirit. Every time that God may have shown his anger, may have shown his good pleasure, may have shown his happiness, may have shown his joy, it has worked hand in hand with the Holy Spirit, and it has been a spiritual example of his emotions. He has done it spiritually. Our problem is we are too fleshly to be like God and to express our emotions on a spiritual level. They're too much on a fleshly level, unlike God. We wonder why our services are not spiritual. It's because we are not spiritual. Me as a preacher, if no one else here tonight needs to hear this, this preacher is not as spiritual as I need to be. I am not at the level that God chooses and wants my life to be at. I want every time as I feel an emotion, let God's Holy Spirit direct that emotion and let Him be pleased spiritually. If I'm crying in anger, if I'm crying in hurt, or if I'm happily singing joys or honoring God with happiness, let it be in the Spirit. I believe in the Scripture that tells us that we must walk in the Spirit and we must live in the Spirit. The problem is we are too fleshly to be able to express our emotions the right way. People that come into our churches don't know the difference. They think because someone is crying, they are spiritual. That's not always the case. Because someone is doing this or that doesn't always mean they are spiritual. We must be a spiritual people if we want to see the blessings of God. We know that the Lord and who He is has perfect unity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there's no dissension between them. Each and every time that God has expressed His emotion through the ages of time, it's been perfect. It's been right. He has not made any mistakes. We have made tons of mistakes and continue to each and every day. But the Lord will help us. We have emotions because we're created in the image of God. He made us this way, didn't He? I believe with all my heart that God made us emotional beings. Some men, and especially men, are taught that we're not to share our emotions. If you've ever played any sports, you're not supposed to share crying if you're playing football or any kind of sports. And a lot of times as we were growing up, if we got spanked or did something wrong, we said we better dry it up and quit doing that, or we might get another one. And those things are sometimes our emotions inside of us are just hard to control, aren't they? Especially a woman that's over 8 months pregnant and getting ready to have two twin little girls. It's hard to hide those emotions sometimes. You know, the Lord doesn't always want us to hide our emotions, but He wants us to share them in the right way. He wants us to do it in the way that would bring Him honor and bring Him glory. We can only experience the effect that the Holy Spirit has on our emotions if we are truly saved. We must make sure each and every person that we come into contact with, that if they are in a service with us and they see us being able to shout, which doesn't happen as much as it should in our churches, we've got something to shout about, folks. We've got something to be thankful about. We've got a God that in His infinite wisdom has sent His Son to die for a wretched sinner like me and saved me by His marvelous grace. We have something to share with them about, but it's important that they understand that they can't experience spiritualism. And even if their emotions are affected, they can't experience true spiritualism, being led by the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit until they have experienced the Spirit of God dwelling in their heart. As Romans told us that we read there in the 8th chapter, that we are led, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They need to realize that just because their emotions are sparked doesn't, it needs to go on a deeper level than emotions. It needs to go into their spirit, into their soul, into their inner being. There's a world. I've been to churches or so-called churches that are feeding off emotionalism. That just think because if you can feel this or feel that little thing, do this or that. We need to be feeding on spiritualism, where the Spirit of God is the key component for us to have a wonderful service in order to worship God. Isn't that what we're called to do? Jesus Himself said we must worship God in spirit and in truth. We must make sure that these understand that they have got to be saved by God's grace. What are some of the blessings that the Spirit will allow us to feel? Well, if you've truly been saved by God's grace, you'll be able to experience something. I remember the night the Lord saved me. I don't remember necessarily crying when I was praying. I don't remember necessarily feeling any specific emotions, but I know that God was speaking to me on a level that I had never been spoken to before, because He was speaking spiritually to me, to my soul. And I needed a Savior, and I trusted in Him. And you know, when God saved me, it gave me peace with God. And when a person truly gets saved, they will have peace. peace. They may not share shouting. They may not shed a tear. They may not have laughter, but they will have peace with God. Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." They will have peace. If we want them to understand that there's a difference between having emotions and having the Spirit, let them feel the Spirit. Let them feel the condemnation and conviction that the Spirit causes when He convicts and reproves them of their sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Let the Spirit deal with their soul. We can't make a person be saved, but when God's Spirit gets in the matter, when His Holy Spirit moves on the scene, there's nothing that can stop it. Thank you, Lord. His Spirit will deal with them and bring them where they need to be. But we must be in the Spirit for the Spirit to be able to work the way that He needs to. He needs to have free course. First Peter in the 6th chapter. First Peter in the 1st chapter. There's not 6 chapters. I almost made that mistake a little bit earlier. First Peter in the 1st chapter. And the 6th verse says, "Ye, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now yet see, ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Joy would be called an emotion, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? But you know what? True joy can only happen from a person that's truly been saved. Truly felt the Spirit of God. Truly experienced God's Holy Spirit. Now, spiritualism may even consist in us of being rebuked of our sin sometimes. But I believe God wants us to be a spiritual people. And if it means my rebuke, if it means me getting chastised from time to time, then that's what we want. We want God to convict us and bring us where we need to be in fellowship with Him. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, again, some familiar reading lesson here. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the 3rd verse says, "For consider Him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chastiseth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our own profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous or happy, but grievous. It burdens us. It's not any fun. It makes us sad. It makes us feel like we need to. It brings us down to that level where God wants us to be. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Sometimes the Lord, as His Spirit deals with us, it hurts our emotions sometimes. It hurts us outwardly. And it makes us feel sometimes like we don't want to feel, because it hits us so deep and it makes us to express those things. There's times that I am preaching pretty much every time. I can't hold back my emotions sometimes because the Spirit is so strong. He is just dealing with me so strong. And as long as we are truly being led by the Spirit of God, there's nothing wrong with that. As far as I'm concerned, we hold back too much and try to just hold the Spirit back and quench the Spirit. But we ought not do that. If we want the Spirit to have free course, we would just let God have His way. And who cared what our emotions did? If it was pleasing to God, even if we went into a place and overturned the tables that were there and said, "You're a bunch of money changers who have taken my house of prayer and made it a den of thieves," help us, God, to be led by the Spirit. He exemplified the Holy Spirit as Jesus went into the temple and cast those ones out there that were trying to gain money and gain those things and how to try to gain wealth out of serving God. We need to realize that we can let the Spirit of God have His way. Even if it does affect our emotions, God created us in His image. And He wants us to be willing to allow the Spirit to lead. But don't let our emotions direct what we think is the Spirit. Let the Spirit direct our emotions. God wants us to be directed by Him. Not by us. He wants us to be directed by Him. We're going to experience emotions in our lives, in our homes, in our churches. I might ask you a question. Are you allowing them to be directed by the Spirit or by your flesh? Turn with me to Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. You all probably wondered if I'd ever get to these scriptures. I'm sure many of you all thought this is what we were going to start with, but this is where we are now. Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Don't be afraid if you're emotional as long as you're in the Spirit. You don't have to worry about that. I don't believe God wants us to go to church worrying. I believe He wants us to go to church ready. And it's not just when we're here, folks. We should be in the Spirit all the time. As I'm ringing up those customers, as I'm walking throughout the store, as I'm dealing with each and everything in day of my lives, it should be in the Spirit. If we are truly wanting to please God, we can do it. But it's got to be through the help of the Lord. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." I need to read this. Took this from a brother named Neander. He was a German teacher, I believe. Says, "The flesh and the Spirit are contrary one to the other, so that you must distinguish what proceeds from the Spirit and what from the flesh, and you must not fulfill what you desire according to the carnal self, but what the Spirit within you desires." What are we allowing to take control? What are we allowing to run our lives? Are we allowing the Spirit God's Holy Spirit, our soul that's been saved by God's grace, are we allowing His Spirit to direct our lives? Or are we allowing the flesh? My fear is that we are too fleshly and sinful to be able to distinguish the Spirit from our own fleshly emotions. That's my fear. I don't know where you're at today, but I'm afraid that we are too sinful and too fleshly to even discern the difference. But I'm thankful that my God is able, and He is willing, and He is ready to make it stand out and make His Spirit stand out so different. It should. Are we not called to be a peculiar people? When God calls us into His marvelous light, are we not God's own special chosen people that should stand out and magnify our Savior? There should be a distinct difference between those that are spiritual and those that are only emotional through the flesh. Let us be spiritual. Let us be spiritually led. Let us spiritually discern the Word of God. It doesn't need to be through our flesh. It will cause divisions. It will cause issues. It will cause strifes and envies. The letter killeth, but the Spirit will give life. We don't need to focus so much on the way man sees things, but how God and His Holy Spirit sees things. And when we understand that, everything will just be cleared up. It'll be easily understood. We're too double-minded. James tells us that. The first chapter, I'm almost out of time. James tells us that in the first chapter. And the fifth verse says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let us ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If we're not truly led by the Spirit of God, we're just double-minded. Jesus Himself said, you can't serve two masters, for you'll hold to the one and cling to the other. You'll hate the one, despise, you'll love the other. I need to move on. If we want to be blessed spiritually, we must recognize our lack of spirituality. We've got to come back to the Lord for direction, help, and hope. I want to leave you with this. Some familiar scriptures here. I'm going to get them first because I'm the first one doing this lesson. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. We'll go ahead down and read the 12th verse. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. He still wants to hear. And He still wants us to be spiritual. We don't necessarily have to be emotional, but He expects us to be spiritual. He expects us to be. I hope and pray tonight that you got a little something out of this. We've got some other examples. I didn't want to read every one of the examples. If I told Brother Miller I'd give him my copy. I apologize for not having you copies of this. But we've got some examples of emotionalism in the Scriptures and examples of spiritualism in the Scriptures. There's some other scriptures that we skipped over and didn't use tonight. But I hope and pray that we see that this is a problem that we need to address in our homes. We need to address it in our churches, in our lives. Thank you for listening to us tonight. God bless you. Please pray for my father as he comes this way, that the Lord would just give him a double portion, that we might be able to hear what he needs to say tonight. Thank you for listening. Turn it back over to you, brother.